Well, first of all, let me clarify for you. No, I did not originate the idea. That was Gary Hansen, who was chairman of the Public Safety Committee. That was then supported, and the idea about the 1% sales tax increase was from Stephen Burnham Jr. And after listening to them, I agreed wholeheartedly with them that that is probably the best approach to take. So now that's one aspect of your question. The next part of it would be that at this particular point in history, we would be absolutely foolish. It would be reckless to draw the money out of reserves when, in fact, with the rating that we carry, we would be able to bond that project at a historically low rate. So like J.D. Rockefeller once said a long, long time ago, whatever you're looking to finance, if it depreciates, finance it with the other man's money. If it appreciates in value, pay for it in cash. Well, obviously, a building will depreciate. So we want to build this building and use that money for as long as we can. So in this particular case, it would be a 30-year bond. All right, so that's the second component to the project. A third would be, would the sales tax increase pass? And if it doesn't, what would we do? Well, again, sometimes these subjects are a little bit more complex than a one-sentence or one-word answer. And certainly this would qualify. And what I mean by that is, if we receive approval from the voters to bond a $12 million portion of this building, which, mind you, that will not more than likely pay for the entire building. There will be a little bit more cost to that, maybe a million or two. The base cost of the building was $12 million. That's why we chose that figure for the bond. Now, if that bond is approved by the voters, great. We know how aggressive we can get then with, you know, putting the thing out to bid and, well, first getting the design, you know, finalizing the design and then putting it out to bid. And then awarding it, of course, probably in the spring. Now, we will immediately then, knowing that we have a green light, well, either way, it seems like the prudent thing to do, but in this, the financial end of it, and whether or not we get a bond or not approved by the voters, we're still aggressively going to seek every, you know, available grant that may be out there. And when you come to public safety facilities, usually there is several different sources that you can go to. That doesn't mean you're going to get them, but certainly there are several sources you can apply to. Now, every bit of every grant money that we would receive, of course, we would reduce the debt that we would incur on the entire project, right? So that would be good. And if you look at the 1% sales tax increase, what you're actually looking at is during the second and third quarter, increasing the sales tax to 6%. And as we have since prior to Jay passing away, odd that you mentioned, the finance committee and when I got on and who was there and so forth. But it was Jay that actually instituted the sales tax holiday to give the local resident some relief in the off season. And, of course, we have perpetuated that as an assembly. And so we're looking at a sales tax holiday in the fourth quarter and the first quarter of the following calendar year. What this means very simply in simple math is that if you live here year-round, if you're picking your mail up on Groundhog Day in Skagway at the post office, you're paying 3% on an annual basis in sales tax. And, of course, I'm sure that most folks will take the opportunity to make any large purchase, such as a washer-dryer combination or something like that, in the fourth or first quarter. So other than that, seeing that we have no tax, no sales tax on food, really what you're looking at is a nominal amount of money. Say you go out to eat a couple of times a week, spend $70, 1%. How much is that? 70 cents. That would be the burden that an individual here would have to deal with, which I think is pretty reasonable. And the real expense or burden, if you will, which is really not what I would consider it, but the payer of that would be the user. You know, we go up to 500 calls a season, and a couple of dozen in the winter. In season, you know, we're more like a city of 7 or 8 or 10,000 people than we are 700 or 800, because that's our daily visitors. So I think, you know, it's kind of that same perspective. The assembly, as long as I've been on it, has tried to maintain a low mill rate so that the property owner here in Skagway, as they've seen property value skyrocket, does not bear the burden quite as much in the property tax that they pay, because we buy down the mill rate and keep pressure on it, much like the Fed is keeping pressure on prime. You know, they're trying to keep it to a situation that's manageable for everybody. And in our case, it's you want the value of your home to be on the higher side when you're going to sell it. But during the time that you're living in it, that's the value that they base your property tax on. So, of course, you want it to be as low as possible. Well, that's kind of like asking to have your cake and eat it too. But so what you can do is depend on your city officials and do things like buying down the mill rate, like giving sales tax holidays and so forth. The actual reality of what burden would be by the citizens of Skagway is absolutely minimal. And you can look at it as you're paying 3% sales tax year-round, which is the lowest in all of Southeast. And if that does not happen, if for whatever reason somebody gets out there and spreads a bunch of rhetoric about what it's going to do, and the voters believe that, and they vote no, well, I guess we're going to have to dip into the reserves, which then just means we do less quality of life projects.